Hey everyone, this is Mark Bonner and you're listening to Under the Abbey Stand, brought to you in partnership with Shout. Shout is a free, confidential, 24/7 text messaging support service for anyone struggling to cope. If life ever feels like it's getting too much, you can anonymously text 85258 anytime, day or night, and speak to a trained volunteer for mental health support. Enjoy the pod.
Well, here it is then, news fans, that midweek pod that we promised you. But what we didn't promise you was an unbelievable home victory against a team fifth in the table and the top away goal scorers. On today's Under the Abbey Stand, we're going to look at all the great points from the Plymouth victory and look ahead to Saturday's trip to varsity rivals, but no one cares about that, Oxford. I'm your host, my name is John Warland. I have a midweek panel for you. First panellist, a guy who turned down Oxford himself, super smart, it's Julian Roberts.
That's a bit nice. I had absolutely no chance of getting into Oxford. I tell you what, though, isn't it nice to take points off our playoff rivals? Isn't it nice?
Yeah, well, exactly that.
Keep it alive.
We had this chat, you and I, Julian, off the pod. And then a few weeks ago on the pod, I had a similar chat with Tom and he agreed. But we looked at like those, you know, that upcoming run against like the top 10 or the top nine, I think we were saying on the weekend pod.
Yeah.
And we all sort of went, fancy us against one of those teams. Like, it just feels right that like the progression of the season, you know, we've had the draws, we've had the close defeats, just fancied us to upset one of those nine.
You were saying ages ago, George, you were saying like one of those home games, we're going to win one of them. We're going to really surprise someone in one of them home games.
Do you know what? I wish I had the guts to put my money where my mouth is, because I did think it'd be a home game and I had a feeling it'd be under the lights. So kind of sort of a bit like playing Guess Who, it just leaves one answer left and it's Plymouth. And anyway, I wasn't expecting the performance that we got last night that we will talk about in more detail. Julian, I do have a quick question for you to start the pod.
Yes, please.
You've seen the running order, so I hope you're prepared for returning to a Christmas Day conversation that we had about favourite paths in Cambridge, other than the path to championship promotion. Talk to me about the path that you went on last night.
God, it makes our Christmas Day sound incredibly bleak, doesn't it? Incredibly unloved Christmases. Well, listen, for listeners who don't know, me and our other panellist, who we'll introduce shortly, we travel down from London for home games. And on a Tuesday night, that means we get the pleasure of taking the brand new footpath from Cambridge North to the Abbey. It drops you off right outside the ground. It's a dream. It's one of them. It doesn't matter what the result was last night. We were winners already, George.
We love a good path here at UTAS.
I'll tell you what was funny, though. We were on the train at Cambridge and there were some Plymouth fans like on the net, like just across from us. And Caspar goes up to them and goes, lads, don't get off here. Trust me, get off at Cambridge North and follow me. And poor lads were going, they followed us down and we had a chat with them. But they were like, are you gonna lay us in?
Yeah. nothing looks more dodgy than when you get off the train at Cambridge North. It's like, just like entirely like there's definitely not a football ground anywhere nearby.
Come down this pitch black alleyway down here. Yeah. There's a football
perfectly
ground,
safe.
Yeah.
You're safe from us, but you're not safe from Liam Bennett. Our next panellist, you've already heard his voice. Good evening, good afternoon, Matt Caspel.
Hello, mate. How's it going?
It's going really well after last night, mate. I wanted to check in with you because people might not know this, but in UTAS, we all have our own areas that we are experts in. Yours is the songwriting area. We were talking about Sam Schering last night. So I would like you to just give us the chorus that you worked on.
Oh,
and you've got to sing it. Can't say it. You've got to sing it.
We're singing on the pod now.
What's better than this is Caspel's actually, for the purposes of the tape, Caspel's in his office at the moment. That's his commitment to the pod. So that's the idea. Someone from his work.
But he works at Universal Records. That's, you know, talent scouting.
Well, I mean, I'll put some context around this. So, I mean, this genius brainwave came to me at Lincoln Away, which had been, I would say, a fairly heavy duty, fairly heavy duty day already. And I realized at that time that Sam Schering rhymes with Sheriff. And the,
not
the
sure
song,
it does.
Well,
it well.
and the song, I'm not going to sing. I can't. Can I?
There's no other way other than to sing it, mate.
Okay, it's like we've got Sam Schering, and we've even got James Brophy.
So it's two songs. It's brilliant. Two songs because Brophy is lacking a song as well. So yeah,
oh, Casper's got about 20 songs for James Brophy. It's just no one else wants to sing them.
We'll drop them as jingles in the end of season pod.
Right. Let's talk about last night under the lights at the Abbey. Is there anything better? Well, perhaps it's a league debut that goes incredibly well. We're going to start by talking about Liam Bennett because man of the match, brilliant performance. But before we talk about him, we were inspired here at UTAS by stories of a good or a memorable debut appearance for Cambridge United. So we've been thinking about our own internally. I should probably have checked Matt's and Julian's before I start listing off everyone else's. But we've had loads of traction on Twitter with this. So thank you everyone who's got in touch. We're gonna go through them and critique them. let's start with Jono. He agrees with Owen of this pod. It says the only answer for this is Marcus Richardson away at Stoke. Casper, I know you enjoyed that one. Second mention for that moment this season on pods, because we talked about smash and grabs a few weeks ago and Marcus came up there. From the same game, Mark says Dave Kitson. According to Mark, Dave Kitson at Stoke in the same game as Richardson, he looked a player right from the start. I think it's a bold statement to say that you were going to predict Kitson over Richardson based on that first game. I'm gonna whittle through these as best I can, but there's some great ones here for nostalgia. Nick Morgan says Jordan Jones, 45 minutes of magic that will never be forgotten. I think that one is sarcasm.
When you put this in the WhatsApp thread earlier, and Casper said, "Please, can we do most memorable so we can broaden it out to shocking debuts?" This is the first one.
It's my sadistic mind. It's the makeup of my mind. Every time you ask these questions, I go straight to the negatives just immediately. So I was like, "Can we just please broaden this out?"
We should probably flag that Jordan Jones is in League One, right? And he was at the Abbey a few months ago for Wigan, possibly looking at a championship return for them. Couple of shouts here from Matt and Josh for an away day that I know that Julian loves. Jimmy Spencer away at Orient. Was that your...
This is my answer. I mean...
I was going to check, was this your one?
I just rewatched the highlights just before we started recording. And what I'd forgotten is how long it takes the ball to actually hit the net. Because, like, Williamson gets around that defender, who, by the way, had a blinder that day, Williamson. I'd sort of forgotten how good he was. And then just when he rolls it across, and it's like a proper, like, go on, go on. And then he tucks it away right in the corner as well. He doesn't smash it, he tucks it away. What a day out that was.
Oh, good old times at Orion, eh? Going back to other suggestions, I'm not even halfway through. Literally, we've got two pages of a running order, which is like three quarters of that is people's suggestions. We've had so many good ones. Paul says Luke Guttridge. I was going to see how people's responses to that one, because, you know, a bit of a hit and miss figure. Good at the time, but then ended under a cloud, didn't it? Guttridge's debut against Oldham in 2001, scored an early goal and made a massive impact that season. I agree with you there, Paul. Stephen, however, is my favourite suggestion because he has gone with my hero when I was younger, Mick Heathcote. His 1992 debut at home against Leicester was 150k signing from Shrewsbury. Massive amounts of money. Scored on his debut, a game that we went on to win 5-1. It was the best of times. Mick Heathcote is who I remember from my debut at the Abbey when I went to see us play Birmingham. God, it must have been like 94, 95 time. And they were top and we were in the relegation spots and we beat them and it was a Heathcote goal. So there's a Jordan debut for you there. Elsewhere, what have we got? James Denton with a great one here. Marvin Robinson on as a sub and sent off within 5 minutes. Either of you two remember that one? No.
No.
No, I don't. That's memorable.
It's that memorable. You're probably in like the bathroom or something and missed it. I feel like it's a name that I remember from the conference days, though. As is Simon Ainge, who was a suggestion from Liam. I think that one might be a joke because I'm pretty sure he was part of our downfall for not catching Burton. I think his mistake led to us losing at home to Forest Green, if I'm remembering my history right. Good one here from Ben Phillips, who said 17-year-old John Turner bursting the net with a stunning stoppage time goal to beat Exeter in 2003 was hailed the next Shaggy, but sadly faded as quick as he happened as he appeared. Fair assumption there for John Turner. He was around for a bit, wasn't he?
It's like a year, wasn't it? I remember this was really high. This was high on my list, I will say, actually, in a more positive sense. It was just 17 years old. I remember he'd come on and just scored, this stoppage time goal, I think. I think he scored a hat-trick a few weeks later or something like that.
Against Rushden, yeah. I remember that.
We're going way back.
Talking of teenagers, I remember you were at this day as well. Yeah. That's why we're doing this pod, right? Casper, I know you remember this one because you were there. Oh, I say so, pretty sure I remember you being there. We touched on Orient away already, but of course, teenager John Ruddy, his debut for United, saved not one, but two penalties for us. That was a great day.
That was a good day. Punctuated or mostly memorable for Newmarket Road and favourite Laurie McFun. drinking 9 pints of cider before the game and then vomiting all over a policeman and somehow not getting arrested, just getting escorted out of the ground. So that's proper policing that.
You'd never tell if you meet Laurie McFun. It would shock you.
Right, this has gone on for too long, but I will finish it really quickly. So James King, who I know as Shirt Man, the guy that's got all the shirts, has given a really obscure one here. Steve Berryman, signed short-term from Exeter to stand in for the injured John Vaughan, made a solitary appearance against his ex-club and spent much of the game brawling with his former teammates, kept a clean sheet, and then was replaced by John Sheffield. I love John Sheffield, so I wanted to get that one in. The most obvious one that Russ has gone with, because it's a brilliant one, Luke Chadwick, how can we forget?
I just looked this up and I'd completely forgotten how good the quote is after this. So it's welling on a Tuesday night. And his quote after the game is, that was bigger than playing for Man United in the Champions League. I remember coming on in the quarterfinal against Bayern Munich. That was quite nerve-wracking and an incredible experience. But Tuesday is the biggest one now. It's amazing.
Right. And then the last one, because this one tickled me. From contributor, our friend and yours, Jack Swindlehurst, said his favourite debut that he's seen for United is Kieran Trippier. Who can forget his impact on that memorable day up in Newcastle? Right, Casper, I've put off asking you for yours for too long. I'm sure you enjoyed all of those.
Amazingly, mine is untouched. And obviously, you probably got sense for this when I messaged and said, can we make it most memorable and not best? I think you can file this one under Ainge. This is 2004 August, Wickham away, and George's face I can see has already turned because he realised
you're not going to say Herve Renard's daughter, are you?
Wow, I mean
he was a babe.
That's a whole pod of its own, mate. We don't have time for that. Geez, no, I'm of course talking about Igor Lateyedo, who made his debut that day in amongst many other absolute reprobates he played for United. And this, I still am burning with a sense of injustice about this because, George, you'll remember what happened to Lateyedo on this day. He got sent off as the last man. I'm doing the quotation marks. He was on the halfway line, for God's sake. it was absolutely ridiculous. I think it was Nathan Tyson that he felled. And to be fair, it was probably the right thing to do. And against that United team, every time the opposition got the ball in our half, I think it was a dangerous, obvious goal-scoring opportunity, which is why we got relegated out of the Football League. definitely most memorable, but not as positive as maybe some of the others we got.
That's a brilliant one. I'd forgotten all about that. But yeah, that was such a memorable day out. Like it was... beautiful August sunshine, beers beforehand. I met someone for the first time there that I'm still friends with. So I remember that occasion. And then, yeah, like you say, the players that were in that squad are truly, truly memorable for all the wrong reasons. Great shout. And thank you again, everyone, for tweeting in your suggestions. We've been going for ages and we've not even touched on the game. So we should probably say a few words about the 90 minutes. Before we talk about individuals, Julian, let's talk about the performance as a whole. How do you rank it on our season to date?
Well, very, very, very highly. Let's put a big asterisk, maybe, and just say best league performance of the season, because there's one probably very obvious performance up in the Northeast that is probably going to win that debate. But in terms of league performances, in terms of the sort of the standard of the opposition we're playing, they're coming into the game on the back of four straight wins, fifth in the league, I think. One of the top goal scorers in the league.
Top away goal scorers.
Top away goal scorers, exactly. It was always going to be a really tricky night. They were clearly a very good side when we played them down in August and we came away with a point. But last night, on the face of it, you think a 2-0 win, yeah, fine against playoff side, that's decent. It was the way it came. It was, we could have scored plenty more chances. We were in control for loads of it and like genuine control. Like if you look at their... Fine, they've got their 70% possession or whatever, but look at the difference in shots. We had six on target to their one, and I think we doubled them in overall shots in general. So we were clearly generating more chances in key areas. So for me, if you're talking about league performances, it's probably the best at the Abbey.
Oh, I like how you've changed from best of the season to best at the Abbey. Because I was going to go to Caspel and ask to compare it to Cheltenham.
I was just going to say, I mean, yeah, if you're at Cheltenham, I think it's hard to sort of put that above a 5-0 absolute battering because in that second half. But I don't know, Caspel, what do you think?
Yeah, we had this last night, didn't we? I don't know if you want to throw any more caveats in there, right, Julian, around all
on
of that.
On a Tuesday night? No.
In December, yeah.
Against the team from Devon, yeah.
we were just absolutely brilliant last night, though. Maybe it's a cop-out. It's almost not worth comparing the two, I think. This is probably a bit of a breakthrough win for us in terms of we've played a lot of the higher up the table teams. And in sort of September, October, November, and we didn't get maybe what we thought we deserved from some of those games. It's just ruthless, wasn't it? I'm looking at the lineup again, and it's one of those where you can pretty much make a case almost for any of our starting players to be man of the match of that game. And I know we'll come on to this in a bit, but it's just a really committed all-round performance. Plymouth had one shot on target. I watched the highlights back. Nothing but... Plymouth features remotely on the highlights, just don't appear on the highlights at all.
Julian mentioned like our stats, like our shot stats. That's not like us, right? We're not, you know, I can think of games where we've had very few shots, if any, on target.
It's a big thing we were talking about after Burton, Caspel. I don't know if you remember, we were saying that we're getting in brilliant positions often, but... And you don't want to just say pull the trigger every time, but a bit more like test keepers, especially to pitches like that, especially if conditions that's specific to Burton. But as a general thing, I think it was a trend you could see in our side that we weren't shooting that often. Like you said, Jordan, it doesn't feel like a thing you'd say about it.
Yeah.
No, not really. Not with this side, at least.
We can't go on without talking about man of the match, making his debut appearance. What an appearance it was. Mr. Liam Bennett. First question on the Bennett subject goes to you, Julian. Well, I guess it's an obvious answer, but how surprised were you to see him starting? And what were your thoughts pre-game of the lineup when you saw it? Because we had quite a lot of back and forth about who was going to go where. And in the end, it was a 4-5-1, no real change to our tactics.
Yeah, I mean, we guess not
a surprise. Bono doesn't change it, does he?
We pretty much stopped one short on the train there of like getting a whiteboard out and like getting little markers on it and like setting up a proper tactical masterclass. But Bono had said he'd sort of dropped a hint, hadn't he, in his pre-match presser that there was a few walking wounded, was the phrase he used from Saturday's game. And it was hard to sort of tell who that was going to be. It turns out it was Duncan Nibbs and obviously Wes dropping out. But brilliant quote, by the way, just while we're on the topic of Dunk phoning up and saying, yeah, I'm fine for whatever you need. I mean, that is That is brilliant. But yeah,
I'm injured, but I've gone for a jog and now I just fancy a cookabout. It's brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Whereas Wes was sat at home in the bath, not even thinking twice about it.
He wasn't
football.
At home, was well, he? He gave Liam Bennett a big hug at the end of the game.
Oh.
That melts your heart. Anyway, yeah, I mean, it looked like we were talking about like a Christmas tree formation, like a 3-4-2-1 or like a 5-3-2. We were coming up with all sorts on the train there, like Brophy's left wing back, Williams is at right centre half. But no, and I think we'd have been right in thinking that he was going to change the lineup a little bit, in the sense that, as Bonner said after the game, Bennett's only ever played at left back once in his career so far. And to expect him to make his league debut against an opposition like that, who play very, very wide with wing-backs themselves and look to exploit the width of the pitch, he's always going to have a lot to do. To play on a weaker side, you couldn't really tell, except when it came to throwing the ball in, where I think he's just got a bit of a sort of... he's got a bit of a sort of right-sided bias with that. But apart from that, it was a fairly flawless debut, to be honest.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? Like, he was able to use both feet. He's very quick. More and more into the second part of the first half, and then the second half he was getting the courage to bomb on and attack. And then, of course, you know, if you were nervous making your league debut in your unfavored position against a very good team in the league, what better way to settle the nerves than to pick up an assist within the opening 5 minutes or so? Next question is for you, Matt. What was better, that assist from Bennett or the fact that Sam Smith wasn't offside for it?
he loves it, doesn't he?
Because it could have been 5-0 if Smith had stayed onside, like, or at least 3. I'm probably over-egging it.
Season, he could have had 30 goals if he could stay offside, maybe. No, I mean, to be honest, it's an absolute quality assist. I think if you watch back Match in a Minute, the great content that the club puts out, Ollie Kane doing the filming, that angle you get on it is absolutely sensational. So I would really recommend it. I don't think I realised in real time exactly what a good quality ball that was. He's literally put it on the absolute piece of the pitch you need to just put it behind the player. Yeah. I think, to be honest, like, to Smith's credit, maybe we've been guilty of not moving the ball forward quickly enough in the past, which is why he's getting caught offside. It's not the only reason, I'm sure. But Bennett's played it really sharply, really early. And he's put it in absolutely the right spot. And it's an absolutely terrific finish as well. Like, nice to watch. And I said to Jules at the time, it reminded me of Ryan Bird's goal in the FA Trophy semi-final at Grimsby. It was also 8 years to the day since we scored that goal.
Also, someone said Ryan Bird, and I don't think I read it out as an answer for favourite debut. Yeah, Mark, who writes for the site, said Ryan Bird against Dartford as a memorable debut. Matt, you would have had a great view of that assist if you came and joined me in the South Habin. Just saying. Okay, it was a brilliant performance from Bennett. I guess the big question is, what do we do now? Or what does Bonner do now with Bennett? You know, what do we do for the rest of the season? Do you expect Julian to see him play more games, given that we're basically safe? Or do you reckon it will be... probably, no, just a few games, maybe towards the very end, or none at all. And it's all about playing Dunk if Dunk is fit to play.
Yeah, I think in terms of all being well, I don't think there was a plan for him to make his debut. I think at some point in the past few months, Bond has said that he wasn't quite ready for League One football. I mean, it didn't look like it last night. He's played a lot in the Papa John's, but it didn't look like he was not ready for League One football last night. In terms of what we're doing for him now, I think just him being around this squad is clearly like an incredible learning curve for him. I mean, he said in that interview afterwards, like getting hugged by Wes Houlihan, like that motivation must be amazing in all seriousness, just like playing with that squad of players. And it's clearly such a united group that I don't think there'll be much more ahead much more than the odd appearance here and there. But then Williams has got that right back spot fairly locked on. So it's really tough to say. Is there a loan move in the offing for him to get a bit more sort of first team experience, or maybe that's a longer term thing? It's hard to say.
Yeah, maybe one for next season, getting him Conference or League Two permanent football. And yeah, like you say, it'd be hard to dislodge the Brigadier who has been one of our best players this season. Matt, how about the defence as a whole? Because obviously Bennett takes the headlines, but yet again, it's another clean sheet. I think that's 10 for the season now. And I've lost count how many it is for the pairing of Okadina and Schering, who both of themselves aren't much older than early 20s. So they're not exactly a lot older, a lot more experienced than Bennett at left back. But yeah, another brilliant performance from them as a partnership last night as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're both 21 years old, Okadina and Schering. I think it's easy to forget sometimes. I think particularly Sam Schering last night, maybe spurred on by the new song that you can hear coming from the NRA and from a podcast near you, was just absolutely brilliant. He just swept up so much stuff. Whilst Plymouth didn't have a lot of shots on target, they definitely put the ball in the box, maybe even more times than they smashed it off the side of the pitch. They had to deal with a lot of sort of aerial threat. And I think, to be honest, they just did it absolutely faultlessly, the two of them. So, really encouraging, really great to see. And obviously, we touched on it before, Plymouth are the highest scoring away team, averaging 2 goals a game away from home this season. And it just absolutely didn't look like it last night, did it at all? And that's Schering and Okadina, it's Bennett, it's Williams, it's Digby, it's O'Neill, it's the entire side, to be honest. There's a lot of effort that's gone into working. The other thing we had yesterday that I don't think we've done a lot of lately, and I think it's probably, I put on the group chat the other week, Bonner will find a way to make us play good football. It doesn't matter who we have personnel-wise, he just will do it, is what he does. He done it again. So we had a really high press yesterday, which you maybe wouldn't expect. Mm-hmm. I think particularly at home with our narrow pitch, high press, it's kind of the formula that worked really well for us against Bolton at home sort of at the start of the season as well. These are all the factors. You can just see that literally Bonner and the team literally wring everything they can out to get us an advantage in a game. And that's why I think we're able to, even with a really threadbare squad, even with two sort of or three sort of defenders who are in their early 20s, he's still able to get success out of this squad. So brilliant from Schering, brilliant from Okadina, brilliant from Bennett. He can literally go through the entire 11, to be honest.
Yeah. You know who didn't like the small pitch? Plymouth fans. Yeah. Plymouth fans did not like the pitch.
Go on, sorry, mate. It is also getting to the point now where you sort of, the actual personnel that fill these positions sort of doesn't matter anymore. Like you're saying, Casper, it's like, you look at the lineup and it's like, fine, they'll still play well. No matter who it is, it's really interesting. It's like, it's much more than the sum of its parts. Yeah. If you know, the sum of its parts is more than the individuals. Yeah,
I think Casmel made a really good point about last night was actually entertaining football as well. Mm. Like we've won numerous times this season before, and it's been a stick or an analytical way that we've got to that victory, with the exception of probably Cheltenham's away second half and last night. It's not always been the most exciting or pleasing on the eye. And one of those for me that contributed to that was a guy who also picked up his first goal for the club. So next question, and I want to get it to you, Matt, because I'm conscious of time and your 5 o'clock meeting that you need to leave us to, but I know you're a fan of this gif. My question is, what was better, the Lancaster goal gif or the Lancaster performance?
The gif is class, to be fair.
Yeah, the gif is brilliant. Do go and have a look at that on Twitter if you've not seen it, people.
Yeah, absolutely do. The gif is absolutely brilliant, to be fair. And obviously, we want all our players to be scoring as much as they can. But there's something quite nice about, obviously, if a player through availability where it hasn't been able to score until later in the season, a bit like Wes recently. So we know we've got the gifs kind of in the locker. And I'm quite excited to see what might come out later on in the year as well.
Are you excited to see what Barry Cawes is?
core and a canvas at the Stadium of Light. Yeah. I mean, to us, it's a really good finish from Lancaster. There's no way he's fouled the bloke as well. I'm not having it. I'm not having any of that. The defender's got caught under the ball and he's embarrassed himself and he's fallen over, to be honest. I think he knew as well. The appeal they made after the goal was not very strong. I don't think that any really believed what they were saying, to be honest. It's a really good finish. It's not easy. I know he's one-on-one, but I've seen a lot of United players in the 20-odd years I'm watching United not convert opportunities like that. And it looked like there was just no other outcome for what's going to happen. Like, you just knew he's going to put it in the bottom corner. He did it with absolute style, to be honest. I think that was the moment I started thinking we might actually be able to get a point, to be honest.
You know where you would have got a good view of that goal and that incident. Yeah, it's the South habit, mate.
That right.
It's really interesting because on the pod that we'd released on Monday, which I'm sure everyone listening to this has listened to already, but go listen to that as well. Why not? How often do we pod with back-to-back 2-0 wins? But the point I was making on that pod, because the argument, like the question was, you know, Smith or Nibs on that right-hand side, that attacking sort of side. And I went with Nibs because he had kind of sort of the athleticism and the defending and so forth over Smith. What Nibs doesn't have is the finishing. And yeah, that goal last night was a very clear statement from Lancaster to say, yeah, I can finish. And it was really, really nice to see that performance last night because it's one of those you've been wanting to see since he signed. You've been wanting to see what Ipswich fans are talking about, saying he's got so much promise and stuff like that. So hopefully a big final, I don't know, what, 12, 13 games of the season left for Lancaster to put himself in a good position to be a starter maybe for next season. We had one more attacking returner, Julian, that we need to talk about. How great was it to see Charlo Tracy get minutes?
It was brilliant to see him back at the Abbey, back in Amber and Black, but he did not look like he was ready to come back to professional football. Sort of like one sprint, and then he was like, oh, bollocks, like, what, you got to run all the way back there? I can't do that. And then back here. I mean, clearly when he picks the ball up, he's so dangerous. I've forgotten how, when he's, you know, staring a defender in the face and he's got the ball at his feet, he's such a dangerous player. To have him and Brophy either side when they're both firing is going to be really, really exciting. So it's brilliant to see him back. But it's sort of an odd sub for me because he just didn't look match ready yet. It didn't seem, as we were saying last night, like it just didn't seem like a very Bonner-esque sub. But regardless, like,
well,
I mean,
having said Bonner, all that, make subs.
Yeah, exactly.
There is no Bonner-esque sub.
Yeah. No, there's a Bonner-esque sub. It's a 95th minute sub. no, but look, having said all that, he managed to craft a chance in that 10 minutes and looking as gassed as he did. It's a good reminder of how good a player he is and can't wait to have him back at full fitness.
Right. Well, maybe Charlo Tracy might follow that up with some more minutes on Saturday as we visit Oxford. Because we're being naughty and recording this in the middle of our working day, we are going to wrap up the pod here. We'll leave you with our Tom Walker's conversation with Tamana podcast to get some insight on Oxford. But before we do that, I want to say thank you very much for listening. Please remember to subscribe. And it's a farewell from me. Julian, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much. Short, here's to another 3 points on Saturday.
Matt, here's to your optimism at Oxford.
Oh yeah, I can't wait. Thanks very much, chaps. See you soon.
Right, the news fans, I'm joined by Jack from Tamana podcast. Jack, first, thanks for having us. Thanks for coming on, I should say. Obviously, we'll look ahead to the game in just one moment on Saturday up at the Kassam. But I just wanted to start away from the football pitch a little bit. Obviously, some pretty significant news sort of impacting, I guess, everyone connected to Oxford United last weekend. With the passing of Joey Beauchamp. I understand he was a pretty significant figure around the club. Just what an impact did he have and sort of how's it kind of impacted everyone associated?
Yeah, well, probably my first football hero, really. So it's one of those where the first kind of hero to pass away. So it was a big shock to everyone, completely out of the blue. And at Crewe last night, you could see a lot of people were really quite emotional about it. Did a little round of applause on the 11th minute and some Crewe fans joined in, credit to them. But I think it's just shocked everyone, really. As I say, he came from nowhere and he was a club legend. He should have played at a much higher level than he did, but he just loved playing for Oxford. I think Carl Robinson said during the week that really he should have played for England, and a lot of people will say that, but his England was playing for Oxford and he was happy doing that. And he just had a fantastic career, top bloke, had time for everyone. And I think Saturday will be a really, really emotional day.
Yeah, it seems lined up to be a pretty, pretty poignant affair, I think. We're moving on to matters surrounding the game. I guess probably like myself and a lot of other Cambridge fans, you guys have been battling off suggestions of some sort of heated rivalry. But, you know, we look at the table, having beaten Crewe on Tuesday night. Oxford sit fourth in the league. Only you know, sort of a handful of points away from the top two, but certainly well within the sort of playoff shout. I mean, it seems like a long time ago that we faced each other on the first day, but how has it been going overall?
Yeah, blimey, that is a long time ago now. Lots of twists and turns since then. Yeah, we're well in the mix. I think you've got to be very optimistic to think the top two's in with any shout, really. Those Rotherham and Wigan are two machines, aren't they? Just keep going and going. But we've given ourselves a good chance of the playoffs, I think. It was nice to back up a quite comfortable, resounding 4-0 at Charlton with a really gritty performance on Tuesday. I think that's the thing we're seeing with this team this year, that we've got the ability to mix it up if we need to. In previous years, we've had a bit of a soft underbelly and we got dismantled by Blackpool in the playoffs last year. But this year, we seem to be able to, if we have to go and nick a 1-0, we've been able to do it. If we want to be a bit more free-flowing, we've been able to do that as well. So there's a little bit of confidence around, I think, that we're a bit of a different side. But equally, being an Oxford fan, you do expect it to fall apart at some point. So, it's so good. So far, so good, I think, for the season.
Yeah, certainly seems like it's going pretty well. Obviously, two different wins, two different performances, I guess two different styles of playing over the last couple of games. I suppose little old Cambridge at home presents a bit of a different challenge. I mean, how would you expect to set up for that one?
It's hard to tell with Carl at the minute. So he changed the formation to a back three with three centre-backs at Charlton, kind of from nowhere, and basically played a 3-3-4, really, which saw Gavin White behind a two of Sam Baldock and Matty Taylor, who seemed to have got a partnership and an understanding pretty quickly. They played the same style again on Tuesday night at Crewe, but we just couldn't get going as much and we had to be a little bit more direct at times, less fluent between the lines. But for most of the season, we've been playing the four at the back. But since signing a lad called Kieran Brown from Cardiff in January, we've kind of had the ability to play three centre-backs where it's needed. What it'll be on Saturday, who knows? He seems to approach... And I quite like this about Carl Robinson. He seems to approach every game on its own. It doesn't matter that we won 1-0 on Tuesday night. It doesn't mean it'll be the same team. It doesn't even mean it'll be the same formation. If he needs to mix it up, he'll need to mix it up.
Yeah, certainly good to have that sort of flexibility and maybe gives our own coach, Mark Bonner, something to think about. You mentioned a couple of names there, but a couple that we've gone well acquainted to over the years in League Two and sort of in League One, guys like Matty Taylor, I guess, getting a lot of the headlines, but who should we be looking out for? If you're doing the scout report for us, who would be the big names?
I think Cameron Branigan's a standout. He's added goals to his kit bag this year. I think he's got 10 in the league. Obviously got headlines the other week for scoring four penalties in one game, but he's able to score goals from outside the box, inside the box, and he's starting to show why he spent so long on Liverpool's books and got a couple of appearances for them. And then equally, you've got Mark Sykes, who is kind of a winger, kind of a central midfielder, but has been playing at wing-back in the last couple of games. Again, he's added goals. I think it's 8 or 9 goals this year after 2 goals in 3 seasons. So there is goals all around the pitch. And equally, the 3 centre-back option has looked pretty solid. We've kept 2 back-to-back clean sheets for the first time all season. So... we've got a well-rounded squad this year. I mean, there's players at the minute like Marcus Brown, James Henry, Billy Bowden, who are unavailable and haven't featured in the squad in the last couple of games. So I think we'll probably see a couple of changes at the weekend, rest some legs. Someone like Sam Baldock, who's not played that much football since January, might get a rest. But yeah, it's nice to be an Oxford fan, look at the squad and think we've got options. Again, something we've not really had in previous seasons.
Yeah, quality all over the pitch. I guess good for you guys, but a bit of a concern for us and the rest of the division. I mean, moving on to Saturday, I guess like you mentioned, Oxford will be full of confidence. But just to put you on the spot a little bit, how do you see the game going? What's your prediction?
Well, you guys have what was it? A draw and 2 wins in your last 3, the other way around. So 2 clean sheets as well, I think. So 2 teams with a bit of form amongst them haven't conceded goals in the last 2. I mean, we'll play the same way, which is to try and attack and pass and keep possession and create chances. Crewe almost had a little bit of joy on Tuesday trying to get in behind the three centre-backs. So I know Mark Bonner likes to play football as well. You guys are, you know, pretty solid team now. I'd expect it to be quite nervy. I think the emotional side of the atmosphere might, you know, as it often does, kind of numb things a little bit. I'd like to think we'd come away with victory. I always back us at home. I always back us to have goals in us. So it'll probably be 0-0 now I've said that. But I'd like to think we're strong enough to, even if it has to be a 1-0, I'd snap my hands off for that now, to be honest.
Yeah, it's that time of the season, I think, where it's all about
exactly
all about results and less about how they come. I think I'll certainly take a scrappy 0-0 draw all day long, I think, just to keep us ticking over. But it's set to be a pretty interesting affair. I guess it'll be a good crowd, a good occasion. I guess not the circumstances necessarily that you want to go into the game with, you know, with everything that's happened, but it'll be a good chance, I guess, for Oxford fans to pay tribute. But anyway, thanks so much for joining us, Jack. Really appreciate your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me on. Take care.